The reading this morning is Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, and by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you. Your secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years, or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendour to their children. May the favour of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of your hands for us. Yes, establish the work of your hands. Amen.
So we know that the Psalms are God's words to us, teaching us how and what to pray. What and how to pray on every single occasion. And so we are continuing our series on the Psalms. And I think of that when Paul was talking to the church in Ephesus, which was the most mature church. And right at the end, he says, "Hey, finally, brothers and sisters," he says, "be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." How do we be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? By praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. How do we pray? The Psalms are there teaching us right from God. This is how and what we can pray in different circumstances. And I think we can learn a lot from Psalm 90, but I feel like today the key word for us, or the key verse for us, is verse 12. It says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I do wonder, have we a worldly perspective on time, or do we have an eternal perspective on time? Because this psalm is helping us have the eternal perspective and wisdom in terms of time. I'm going to ask you again, don't worry, I won't be preaching for a couple of weeks now, but the idea is, when you are leading someone who's new to the faith, How do you help them? What do you say to them is a good way to study God's word? What's the first thing we encourage them to do? Pray in the Spirit or ask the Spirit. Remember, we won't have a clue what God's word means until we have God's Spirit. That's what brings it alive in our heart. That's what helps us get the clarity and understanding. And then for me, there's three C's. What is vital when we're looking and studying God's word? What are the three C's? Can we actually remember them? I don't mind if you've got another pattern, but can you remember the three C's? I'm hearing a mixture of two. Context and content, I've heard. And thank you. It's very close, right? The idea, there's no point reading God's word unless it makes a contribution to your life. And I like that word, unless we commit to it, unless we actually say, what's the point of doing this? You know, in a sense, what's the point of me standing up here, bringing what I believe God has brought each week, if we just ignore it? That it makes absolutely no contribution to our lives. So what is the context then of Psalm 4? It's actually in the last book. Remember, the Psalms are split up into five books. This is the first Psalm of Book 4. And when I was researching this, I found that this was the Psalm that many churches used during the pandemic. They thought this is a good Psalm to pray during the pandemic because it talks about the eternal nature of God. But it also talks about that phrase that you hear many times at funerals, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And so it gives us that concept of who we are in this eternal perspective. Remember, we've talked about Psalms, like Psalm 6 was, it's individual, it's all about I, it's about me praying to God. But this again is a communal Psalm because it's we and our. This is something that we pray out loud with one another, this type of Psalm. And it's the only Psalm written by Moses. Now, Moses was an incredible man of faith, incredible man of God. Remember, he was the man of God who brought the people out of slavery through the plagues and led them into wilderness for 40 years. The man who led the people through their trials and tests, trying to get this mentality of slavery out of them. Slavery to their circumstances, and instead to develop an attitude of trust in God's wisdom, trust in his will, trust in his ways, because these last for eternity. I think Moses has something to teach us about prayer, and especially as it's the only Psalm that he's actually written. So the content, I split up into three C's just to help you again. Remember the first one I did, Psalm 6, three C's. I know you remember them all. Last week was four P's, this week with three C's. And actually, what you will discover in each of these is there's a confidence, right? There is always a confidence in stating who God is. It's so important. This is who the Lord is. In prayer, you may be struggling with this. I mean, you know, to me, I cry out to God. I said, remember my prayer last week was saying, Lord, I feel like you're powerless. I feel like you're impotent, but I know you are not. Yeah? Prove to me, change my perspective and perception. That was last week. So that I can see that you are as powerful as your word says you are. So that confidence is started, and that's a way that we pray. And then there's complaint. I love it. Over a third of the Psalms are moaning and complaining. This is you worshiping. This is you praying. All right? Complaining to God is good. Yeah? It's how we pray. And the complaints in this Psalm are concerning our human transience, our mortality, and our lack of morality in the light of God's everlasting nature and his divine wrath. And remember, for wrath, I always put in the word justice. I want justice to be done. And unfortunately, justice means that sin needs to have a consequence, needs to have a punishment. And thirdly, concluding petition, which is verses 12 to 17, asking the Lord to restore his divine blessing on his people who have experienced adversity. Confidence. What is the confidence in Psalm 90? And those who heard the song at the beginning, remember it was El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Eleonai, Adonai. Adonai means Lord, and this is what this psalm, the Hebrew word that is used, is Lord. You are the creator and governor of the world. As we sang, morning has broken. You created this wonderful world. The Lord, the community. And what do we have is here the community saying, you are our refuge. You are our dwelling place and have been our refuge and our dwelling place for generations. This reminds us of the constant presence of the Lord, his everlasting, unchanging nature, a God who is outside time, who not only houses this phenomenal universe, but actually personally houses you and me in him. It's trying to get that grasp, isn't it, how big and great he is, and yet he is personal and wants us to make our home in him. Our home was never meant to be this earth. It was always meant to be with him and in him, in God himself. So Moses is confident that the Lord, preceding all things in the world, will outlast them all. See, God is not dust, yet longs to be the place that dusty people like you and me can rest, dwell. And that word that he's been talking to us a lot about this year, abide in him for eternity. That's the confidence. But what about the complaint? And we find in the complaint there's echoes of Genesis and the story that we find there. There are four things that they complain about. I've just put it under three headings. And this is verse 3 to 11 that we're looking at here. First of all, the complaint is, look, I am just dust. I'm made from dust. I'm very human. Yeah? I'm very fragile, in fact. And also, oh my goodness, I am so sinful. Yeah? We are made from dust. Our sin against God's wisdom, will, and ways brought about God's wrath, his justice against our sins. And we know the consequence of that. It wasn't designed for that initially, was it? We were designed to live eternally, and we will have that eternity with God again. That's the bookends of our story. It's all good. The middle bit ain't, but the two ends are good. But the consequence of our sin is death, so that we return to dust. We deserve punishment for our inability to follow God, whose will and ways and wisdom is always love and always good. See, when we do not follow God's wisdom, will, and ways, we cause harm to ourselves. I mean, think of just if you harbor unforgiveness, that bitterness that it causes in your heart. Yeah? We cause harm to ourselves when we don't follow his wisdom, will, and ways, and we cause harm to others and to God's creation. And that's why God's limited our time on earth. I think he's very sensible. I don't know if you've used the word for sensible to describe God before. It's a very British word. But, you know, it's like he's sensible, isn't he? Because he says, right, I've got to limit how long humanity stay on this earth, to limit their sinfulness. And this psalm also talks about the secret sins. I mean, you know, we can present so well, especially on a Sunday morning. But God knows the secret sins that go on in our lives. And there is punishment due for those secret sins. We struggle with our morality. And the people in this psalm acknowledge their morality. And they also acknowledge, oh my goodness, I deserve your wrath. I am in fear and awe of you, a holy God. I want to come into your presence, but there's things in my life that caused me not to be able to at this moment in time. This problem of mortality and our morality is so common to the human nature, isn't it? And most people are in denial of it. You know, as I talk to people, there's a very few percentage that actually prepare for their death and prepare and do that well. You know, it's a case of I'm denying that I'm going to die. I'm not going to leave things well. And there's also a denial about the harm that our morality can cause on this world. By the way, I've got three really depressing points, but the end of the sermon's good. So just giving you a heads up, it's just going to get worse from now on, all right? So we're dusty, we are sinful, we deserve punishment, and we are fleeting, all right? God sweeps humanity away in death like the flood in Noah's time. It's just like, whoosh, you're gone, yeah? Like grass, we're here one morning and withered by the evening. Our impact on the earth seems green and verdant in the morning, but actually it's so fleeting. And as by the end of our days, it just withers. In other words, you know what I mean? What's the point? What's the point? See, how God views time is different to us. Actually, Karen Howling reminded me of this yesterday. We were talking about how long, O Lord, sometimes that's our prayer, and you find it in this psalm, don't you? How long until these things happen? And she was like, and I was like, it took 500 this for years for this. And she said, oh, that's just like half a day to God. And she was, you know, she didn't realize that this was part of the psalm. It says, 1,000 years is like a day to him. Our lives seem insignificant when we look at the big eternal picture. And here the people are saying, I acknowledge my dustiness. I acknowledge my sinfulness and that my lives are fleeting and insignificant when we look at eternity. They recognize the transitory nature of humanity compared to the everlasting nature of God. Right, only one more bad point. Hang in with me there, all right? And the third complaint is life is hard. I don't know, I think every one of you can put your hand up and say, yeah, life is incredibly hard. They're like, our lives are just full of sorrow and trouble. Moses and the people of Israel were longing for home, for the promised land, for rest from his hard living. Longing for the land of plenty they had been promised, not the wilderness. And if you remember in the wilderness, all they had to eat and drink was water. And a little of that on occasions, and quail and manna to eat. I don't know, can you identify, and I think you can from the expressions on your faces, can you identify with this aspect of, you know, my mortality, I am dust, I'm going to return to dust. Can you identify with the complaint that our lives are fleeting? Can you identify with the fact that life is hard? But the bonus is the last part of this psalm says, well, when you're feeling like this, this is how we pray. This is what we can pray. This is our concluding petitions. This is what we ask the Lord for. So in the light of our mortality and morality and fleeting lives, what can we ask God for? And like I said, verse 12, I think, is key to us this morning. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Instead of living only for the moment by numbering their days carefully, thinking about the eternal perspective, thinking about the future, it will affect what you do in this moment in time. I wonder, do you have wisdom in terms of how you spend your time each day? Every day, this is my most precious gift. And when I see people, I'm like, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of resources. But what I do have is the most valuable and precious gift of all. And that is my time. And I have 1,440 minutes in a day. That's about 10,080 minutes in a week. And I worked out at 60 years old. I've had 3.56 million minutes so far in my life. And I wonder, are we following God's wisdom, his will and his ways in our 140 minutes each day? Are we following what God commanded us to do? Are you each day in those 1,440 minutes loving God, loving others, and also remember loving ourselves? Are we using our 1,440 minutes each day to be with Jesus as we just looked at? Are we using them to become like Jesus, our minutes? And are we using them to do as Jesus did? Do you know, the bare minimum of a follower of Jesus is the great commandment and the great commission. In our 1,440 minutes, are we even following the bare minimum of the greatest commandment and the great commission? Give me wisdom, Lord. Number two. So we ask for wisdom in terms of our days. Number two is from verse 16. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. See, when we use our time wisely by being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing as Jesus did, he can't wait to say, ask for my blessing. Ask for my favor. I mean, I do find it frustrating. My sister, my younger sister, my nieces on her side, and also my cousin, right? My younger sister and there, and her kids believe in Jesus, follow Jesus, actually doing amazing things for him. But they're like, you have God's favor. I'm like, it's available to all of us. You know, they expect as we go in somewhere that I will get a bargain. They expect that I will find this. They expect me to win something. You know, I put Pete and Rachel on my insurance and I got a cheaper insurance. And they're like, how do you do that? How do you do that? Do you mean that you just find God's favor wherever you are? And my cousin's the same, doesn't believe in Jesus at all. But she's just like, I want to be with you and let's do this because I know we'll find God's favor. There are 7,000 blessings in Scripture. And what he's saying to you, ask. I mean, do you even know what 10 of the blessings are? You know, I just sort of think this is what our prayers are. Ask. Ask for that favor. Ask for the blessings that God longs to pour on his people. I'm thinking of yesterday at Messy Church. And we had that moment in Messy Church where I just said, it's so good to bless the children. You know, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, with the one that we do at the end. And I just asked people to lay hands. I asked permission, don't worry. Lay hands on the children. And I watched as God's presence descended on those children. And I was looking at Alessio, and I was like, you felt God's presence, didn't you? He's like, yeah, that blessing, his face just shone as people laid their hands on him, and he received that blessing. We are designed to bless this world. We are designed to be blessed, but then also to pass that blessing on. I think you've got the hang of this verse, isn't it? Ask for blessings. And then also ask the Lord to establish the works of your hand. You know, if we're doing what Jesus did, it will last. You know, his word does not return void. Can you imagine that? Every time if you're speaking what he's asking you to speak, it will impact not only you, but everyone else around you for eternity. That's pretty amazing to be able to leave that kind of legacy. And the third point here. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy and be glad in our days. That's verse 14. So we've asked for wisdom in our time. We've asked for favor. We've asked for the Lord to establish what we say and do. Now he's saying, even in your times of trouble and sorrow, you can still experience joy. Remember, that's the blessing that you passed on as 80-year-olds to us 60-year-olds. You know, make this a decade of joy. Yeah? For the joy set before him, Jesus went to the cross. You can still have joy. Joy in and amongst the sorrow and trouble. Ask the Lord to fill you with his love and fill you with his joy. Can we, like this is saying, be glad with the number of days that we have? Some of us complain we've got too many. Some of us complain we've got too few. But can we be glad whether we have a long or a short lifespan, satisfied in God's unfailing love? And what I think is key in these last verses is twice the people say, we are your servant. We are your servant. In other words, what they're saying is, we've wandered away from you again. We have not called you Adonai. We've not said to you, you are Lord. We have not made you Lord of our time. We've not made you Lord of our resources. Let's make it modern day. Not made you Lord of our money. Not made you Lord of our relationships, our homes, our work. Made you Lord of everything that we have. And this is how they pray. We are so sorry we've forgotten to make you Lord. Have compassion on us. That's how it teaches us to pray. So the contribution then is remember that the Psalms, and this Psalm in particular, is how to pray and what to pray. And remember, this one is a psalm that we pray out loud. These are the kind of things we pray out loud together with others. The truths, the confidence that we have in God, our Creator, everlasting God of justice, or wrath, love, and compassion. When I was looking at those first verses, and I nearly put it in there, but I'm going to put it in here at the contribution at the end. I love the fact that it's in Psalm 103, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Thank you, Lord, that you remember that I'm dusty and that you will have compassion on me. So that confidence declaring who he is, then our complaints about our mortality, our morality, and our hard lives. Psalm 90 teaches us to bring our complaints to God, whether that be about the trouble and sorrow in our lives, the length of our lives, or the fear of God's judgment for the times we do not follow God's wisdom, will, and ways. And then petition, concluding petitions. What do we ask him for? We ask God for wisdom in how we spend our 1,440 minutes each day. We ask to encounter God's love and compassion to enable us to have joy and satisfaction each day. We ask God for God's favor and blessing on us, 7,000 of them. And we are to ask God to establish the work of our hands and our words and our deeds, so that we can have and leave a legacy. That woke some of you up. Let's pray. Lord, you have taught us in Psalm 90 to ask for wisdom in how we spend our days. And so right now, I pray that you would release your wisdom, your gift of wisdom, to each one of us in how we spend our days. Lord, I know many in here have sorrow and trouble. And you say to ask for love and your unfailing love to just to fill them right now. And your compassion to enfold them at this moment in time. Lord, we think of Karen Howling in particular as she is grieving. And we think of Bev too as she is grieving the loss of her mother. Lord, we ask that you would have compassion on them at this moment in time. And Lord, I thank you that you long to give us favor, to give us blessing. Lord, I pray that as we read your word, we would see the blessings and ask for them. You're a good, good Father who longs to give us good things. And Lord, I pray that every word that we say will be in line with your will, your wisdom and your ways. Everything that we do will be in line with your wisdom, will, and ways. And we know that that will leave a legacy for eternity. That our lives are not futile. That you will establish what we do and what we say when it's in line with your wisdom, will, and ways. Help us. Lord, that's the best prayer we can pray. Help us in this coming week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.